Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see you tonight, and a big welcome if you're watching online as well. And as we come together tonight, we've got a sermon tonight from Dust to Dash based on Psalm 119. So we look forward to John preaching to us a bit later on that. Now, a couple of things before we start. God willing, Wednesday evening is the men's curry night. Now, we've got the wonderful problem of being close to capacity now. So if you were planning on coming and you haven't spoken to Mark, you'll need to do that fairly soon, preferably tonight, so that Mark can see if we've got any spare spots to squeeze you in. So that's the men's curry night this Wednesday. We're also hoping, God willing, to have a stall at the Christmas Cracker, the light switch on in Crowborough High Street, at the end of the month. I think it's Friday the 29th or 30th of November. And we met for planning that this week, and we've got a lot of exciting things. And at this point, we just really value prayer, that hearts will start being prepared, and we'll have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, and there'll be an interest in what we do. There'll be more details coming out of exactly what we're planning to do, but your prayers at this point will be very much valued. We're going to start tonight with the song, and we're going to be singing, "Lord, I come before your throne of grace." And we're just opening our hearts to God here, bowing ourselves before God, the Holy One. And so let's stand and sing together. Together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we thank you that you are the Holy God, and that as we've just sung, Lord, we come and we bow ourselves before you. Lord, you are high there in the heavens, the creator of the earth, with the overall view of the universe and everything that you made. And here we are, Lord, but small, feeling smaller and insignificant on the earth below. But Lord, we thank you that you have time for us. And not only do you just have time for us, but Lord, it is your desire to love us and to have us as part of your family. So as we worship you tonight, we pray that our hearts will be really full and cheerful and joyful with all that you've done, with all the promises you have made, and the way that, Lord, you are still saving people now, saving from sin, turning away from rebellion and being a slave to sin, and instead, Lord, becoming your followers, becoming your children. And so, Father, tonight, please bless us with open ears, open minds and hearts, and we pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, and that it will be an evening well spent as we worship you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, John's going to be preaching tonight from Psalm 119. Not the whole lot, but we're going to be picking out certain sections of Psalm 119. Now, the author of Psalm 119 is not confirmed, is my understanding, but there's a lot of thoughts that it was possibly David, but I don't think that's confirmed at all. And as many of you will know, Psalm 119 is the longest single chapter in the Bible, with a whopping 176 verses. And each is divided into 22 sections with 8 verses in each. Now, each section or stanza starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which of course had 22 letters. And tonight we've got two readings. And the first I'm about to read is Dalet, which begins at verse 25. And if you're following in a church Bible, that's on page 512. So we're reading Psalm 119 and from verse 17. Bear with me. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Now on to the second stanza we're reading. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways and you answered me, teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Well, we're going to sing again. And then after that, we have another reading. Charlie's going to do us another reading. But we're going to be singing How Firm a Foundation. So we'll sing about how God's word is a firm foundation for us, and how grateful we are for that word. So let's stand and sing How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Good evening. Second reading is also from Psalm, so basically everything that Luke said, but we're going to be reading a bit further on, starting at verse 49, finishing at 64. So you've got the church Bibles, it's page 513. So starting at 49. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the nights, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favour with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten, do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
Shall we join together in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you this evening with praise. We want to praise you especially because of your steadfast love, your loyal love, your unfailing love, your love which is faithful and never ends. How wonderful it is to know that love personally. How amazing it is to be so secure and safe with you as our refuge. We thank you that you loved us so much that you proved it by sending your Son into the world to go to the cross for our sakes. And we pray that we'll be heartened this evening by that love and we'll be stirred to a sense of fresh praise. We come to you, O Lord, also with confession, because we're not so steadfast. We go up and down in our love to you and the way we are towards others. We may have good days or we feel that they're good days. Even our good days are so tainted. And then there's the days which are obviously not good. And you see it all. Lord, we tend to look very charitably at our own lives. We overlook our faults, but you see everything in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, and in our motives. And Lord, we pray that you would have mercy. We thank you that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And Lord, we come to you with dependence. We do need you. You sustain our every physical breath. We need you to help us in our minds. We need you to bless us spiritually. We need help in our responsibilities. And so we look to you in dependence. And we remember that our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And we are encouraged. As we come this evening, Lord, some of us perhaps are in the heights. Things are going well for us. It's been a week of blessing. There's so much to be enjoyed and enjoying and to look forward to. And we feel a sense of praise to you for these good things. And we rejoice with those who rejoice, with those who are on the heights of life. But as we come as well, we know that many know something of the depths, of the difficulties, of the challenges, of the sorrow, of the heartache. And we thank you that in your word it even says, out of the depths have I cried to you. And we share our concern and we pray on behalf of those who feel as though they are in the depths, that they might find consolation and help and blessing, and that even the message this evening may be used by your Spirit to be a big encouragement to them. We thank you, Lord, for yesterday. We thank you for the really nice, safe evening we had with the fireworks, the bonfire here. We thank you for the work put into it by so many. Thank you for the good friendship that was had by so many coming, mixing together on a happy occasion. And we do pray for those who were here. We pray that they might feel welcome. Pray it might lead on to a concern for them to investigate more about you, to find out about the gospel for themselves. We thank you that yesterday too, a good group of young people wanted to go to London to a conference, and that was a really good conference. We thank you for that. We pray for your blessing on them and on the many others that went to that occasion. We pray that we'll really encourage them in your word. We thank you for this morning, so many here for the remembrance service. We thank you for your help to different people involved on that occasion. We pray for those who came who not often in a church situation, that they may feel drawn to Jesus. They may be thoughtful before you. It may be the beginnings and the development of spiritual interest in their lives. We commit to you the week ahead, different meetings and activities in the life of our church. We pray for your help and your blessing on all the different things which occur. We especially pray about the men's curry evening on Wednesday, for the speaker as he comes, for those organising as well. And we thank you that there seem a good number wanting to come. And we really pray it would be a good evening of friendship and conversation. But we pray that it might spark off spiritual interest in the lives of some of the men we care about. We thank you for home groups as well. And as some meet for home groups this week, we pray that they will be good occasions. Help those who lead those groups. We pray it may be opportunities to cement a real sense of fellowship and encouragement in the life of our church. We pray that you would help us to do that. We know it's easy to overlook people, for people to feel on the edge and forgotten. Lord, we thank you for all that is done by so many to look out for one another. But we pray that you would help us to look out for one another well, and that you would help us to see between us those who are perhaps being overlooked. Lord, we thank you for your work in the lives of those that we've prayed for and that we care about. And we thank you where people are brought back to you and come to trust in Jesus, even when they have wandered off, very obviously sometimes in their lives. We praise you for your work of grace. And we do pray to see that work continue. Help us with our friendships. Help us in our family. Do have mercy on those we care about. Lord, you are the one who can give spiritual life. Nothing is too hard for you. We think of that vision that Ezekiel saw where the dry bones lived. And it reminds us of your sovereign power to bring life where there is none. We pray to see that spiritually around us at this time. Help us this evening as we're in your word. Make us receptive. We do pray it would be a good evening for us. Well, we will be encouraged that some might be particularly helped, and that you will be glorified. And we pray all this for the glory of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name. Amen. Well, our next song is a song that focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the song From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. And you see something of the trend that we're seeing in the message later on here as well. But we shall enjoy focusing on Jesus in the different verses of this song. So do stand to sing From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable.
Oh,
Well, I love Psalm 119. I don't know if it's my favourite psalm. It could well be. If you know some of the psalms in the Bible, perhaps they're new to you. They're great books to read if you've not read them before. It's a great book to read, the hymn book of the Bible, if you like. And of them, we have this longest psalm, as Luke introduced it. But it's a great book of the Bible. It's a great chapter of the Bible. And every verse, nearly every verse, all but three out of those 176 apparently, have a mention of God's word. It's arranged alphabetically as you heard. And I used to think perhaps it was just a bit random. You know, you thought of there's sort of things about God's word, and all the ones that you began with A, you sort of put where there. We have got eight of those, and all the ones we can think of beginning with B, we're put there, and all the ones we've got beginning with C, or the Hebrew equivalent, we're put there, and it's just sort of a higgledy-piggledy group alphabetically organised. But if you look at Psalm 119, you study it, you find actually there's development within the different sections. It's not just an alphabetical sort of compilation. And we'll see that this evening as we look at one particular section. We're going to be looking at verses 25 to 32, which has caught my eye in recent weeks and I thought could be helpful to us this evening. From dust to dash. We look at where it starts this evening. And it starts with the dust. So have it open if you've got a Bible, Psalm 119 in the middle, verse 25. Starts with the dust. Verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. What does that make you think of? What sort of picture comes to your mind when you think of that? My soul clings to the dust. Quite expressive, isn't it? Experiences you relate to. Perhaps you think of being stuck in the mud. You remember the game, Stuck in the Mud, you know, when you're caught and you're stuck and somebody has to free you and you're not allowed to move, and it's this picture of being grounded in the mud, unable to move. My soul clings to the dust. Or maybe you have those dreams. Surely I'm not the only one who has those dreams where something's chasing me. Someone is chasing me and my legs just won't move. Can't get anywhere. You're sort of grounded and they're getting closer. It's more than just being immobile though, isn't it? My soul clings to the dust. Getting the sense of him being face down in it. My soul clings to the dust. I'm sort of grounded. I'm down there. I was thinking back to, we used to have to do cross country. I think you get let off cross country now if you're at secondary school, but we weren't let off cross country. And when we were at Beacon in the first year, we ran round what's now the Green Lane site, but it was more of a woods there. And if you've got several hundred kids a week running on wooded paths in the winter, they are stodgy and boggy. Can you imagine falling over as you did cross country? My soul clings to the dust. Experiences, I think, the rottenness of what we might call the fall. I often, not often, yeah, fairly often, check my titles with my daughters, especially when I think I'm not quite sure if it's going to be a good title or not. And I did that this week, and one of them quite liked the title. They said, well, it reminds me of From Dust to Dust. It's a bit of a play on From Dust to Dust. And that's quite helpful, really, because I think in the Bible it is linking with dust. Dust to dust, from dust you came, from dust you will return. It's taken us back to the third chapter of the Bible in Genesis, to what we call the fall, where Adam, the first man, failed. And the word to him, out of judgment to him, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So it's a sense in which being faced with the sort of brokenness of the fall, experiencing life as it is now, it's got some sort of a sense of spiritual lowness about it, hasn't it? My soul clings to the dust. I don't know if you're entering into this. I just find it quite an expressive phrase, really. Spiritually low, eating dirt, immobilized. And is that how life is sometimes? Is that how you feel inside? Can you relate to this phrase, my soul clings to the dust? Maybe you can't. Maybe you're just thinking, what is he talking about? My experience is nothing like that. Well, enjoy it. Carry on. But there will be times, and I think for most of you, I can think of many of you, you could relate to something of this feeling. The brokenness of the world is right in front of you. You feel your own human frailty of your body getting weaker, of your mind in its vulnerability. You feel low. You're not firing on all cylinders. In fact, you feel you're just about to stall. My soul clings to the dust. And this section, this stanza of 8, if you like, is in two halves. And the first half, there's a heaviness about it. It's at each end of the first half. So you had this in verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. And in verse 28, you get something a little bit similar. My soul melts away for sorrow. My soul melts away for sorrow. What does that mean? How does that feel? Does it make you think of melting, it's disappearing? You think of somebody, kid who's got an ice cream and plonk, the ice cream falls on the pavement on a hot day and you just see it sort of evaporate, collapse and disappear. So the word is sort of linked to leaking. Think of a punctured tyre and it's just getting flatter and the air's going. Maybe you pump it up. You pumped it up 20 minutes ago, but it's going down still. It's my soul melts. And spiritually it feels like that. I'm falling apart. I'm just draining away. We say sometimes, I've just not got much left in the tank. Strength is getting less and less. And why? Well, it's because things are so sad and things are so difficult. My soul melts away for sorrow. Life has just been so hard for me at the moment. I'm just really struggling. I'm finding it hard to face up to. It's just feels like it's draining me away. Maybe you can relate to that. My soul melts away for sorrow. So it starts with the dust. But the section ends with the dash. I can put it like that. It ends with the dash. Verse 32 at the end. We'll have a little look in between in a minute, but let's go to the end. Verse 32. It pictures such a different situation. And a situation he expects to be in. I love the contrast, don't you? From 25 to 32. That's why I say there's development within these stanzas. Verse 32. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. He's not biting the dust. He's upright. He's not stuck in the mud. He's moving. And it's not just pigeon steps. He's running. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. You may remember Eric Liddell, 100 years ago now, wasn't it, with the Olympics in Paris. but featured in the Chariots of Fire film, and the one who didn't want to run on the Sunday. But the way in which he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He loved running. There was a joy and a freedom in running. I think that sort of conveys what there is here. I mean, you may not feel a freedom in running. You say, if I run, I feel like collapsing after about 10 yards. Maybe you feel like that. But you can picture what it feels like to enjoy running. Perhaps you wish you were young again and you could just sort of run down the street with freedom and joy and not be short of energy. Isn't that liberating, isn't it? That's the sort of picture here. I will run in the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. Why don't you love that thought? That sort of thought spiritually of being like that. You may not physically be a runner now, but doesn't it appeal to you, this sort of picture of spiritual strength and inner vitality, of going places, of being free, of enjoying life? Especially when you were clinging to the dust. Now the idea of running, isn't it a wonderful transformation you have? And he's not suffering at the end here, or what's pictured at the end here of verse 32, is not a sort of shriveled heart. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So his heart has been enlarged, or it's been expanded. That there's air in the tyres. The fuel gauge is full. It's got energy, enthusiasm. Feels as though his heart is pumping. There's no constrictions anymore. There's life in the body. There's not heart failure. There's vitality. It ends with a dash, and oh, it's attractive, isn't it? To go from the dust to the dash. Spend a bit of time in the middle of the psalm, because I'm thinking of this question now. Well, what makes the difference? What makes the difference between that position of lowness, struggling with the brokenness of life, nothing much in the tank, to then feeling free and strong and energetic in God's way? Well, there are many things that help us, aren't there? And it's good to realise the breadth of what God has given. There's being with friends, which helps. There's physical exercise that helps us. Medication sometimes that can help us. There's advice. There's all sorts of practical things which can be useful in life. We are a complex makeup, aren't we, of body and mind and soul. And we don't want to be simplistic. There's social dimension to our lives. There's all sorts of things going on. But according to this passage, what is the main thing that helps transform? What's the main thing that he thinks is going to make a difference from there to there? Well, remember the territory we're in. We're in Psalm 119. It's the psalm of God's word. It's the psalm of God's word. And it's God's word which can and does make such a difference. It's God's word which is a key part of this transformation. Have you experienced that? Have you forgotten what a source of help God's word is? Are you encouraged by that as we're thinking of this scene this evening? God's word, so instrumental to the difference, that the Bible, God's word given to us in the scriptures, the Bible so key as he uses it by his spirit in our lives. And God's word is mentioned in all eight verses. is like that. As I said, in most of Psalm 119, it comes with different words. It may be the word or statutes or ways. There's a range of things which are referred to. But here in these verses, here's some of the things which it says just in this section about God's word, which seem to be significant in making the change from being down in the dust to heading on the dash. It tells us about the life it gives. The life it gives. It's the rest of verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. God's word gives life. God's word is the instrument of life. Spiritual life comes as God's spirit uses his word to help us. It happens when we first come to faith, when we first become true believers, when we're born again, as the Bible puts it. 1 Peter 2 verse 23, 1 Peter 1 verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. God uses his word in the first place to bring spiritual life to us and make us Christians. But repeatedly, we find that it gives life. We're revived by it. There's another little cluster later in this big psalm. You get them together, 154, 156, 159. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The word gives spiritual energy. The word promises spiritual energy. In New Testament terms, it's Christ's power at work in us. Maybe think of a bit in 2 Corinthians 4. You've got almost the dust reference here because you've got a bit of clay. So we haven't lost the dirt here, the imagery. But Paul says this in a hard time in 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So through the pressures and difficulties of life, there is life, resurrection life, in us, the power of Christ through his word and gospel, the life it gives. The instruction it gives, verses 26 and 27 especially here. There's an element of repentance in this section. He tells God of his ways in verse 26, which I assume is confession. When I told of my ways, you answered me. And his response in verse 26 is, teach me your statutes. He knows he needs God's word and he wants to be taught. This is a teachable man. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts and I will meditate on your wondrous works. The instruction it gives. Verse 18 is quite famous in the psalm. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Your word gives light. It informs me, it brightens me, it teaches me. Give me more of it. Your word makes such a difference. I've got an appetite for it. Feed me with your word. It makes us wise. You sometimes perhaps feel down in the dumps. Do you know, if you know God's word, you are wiser than all your teachers. The one before verse 199, I have more understanding than all my teachers. How come? For your testimonies are my meditation. So it's the instruction that it gives that makes such a difference. The light that enters in. Are you letting the light into your life which can make such a change? Have you pulled the blinds down? You try to turn the light off? God's word gives instruction and he realizes this and he wants it. There's some overlap between these. The strengths it gives. Verse 28, we've had half of it. My soul melts away for sorrow. Here's the second half. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. It gives strength. Strength is in line with what your word promises. And it's what your word does. It gives me strength. It made me think of our meeting we had on Thursday. We had to change our meeting a little bit on Thursday and the circumstances. But it proved a nice time, I thought, anyway. And as part of the meeting, I just asked those that were there, quite a number there, of verses that had encouraged them in the difficulties of life. And if I remember rightly, we had seven people mention verses. We had old and young. And recollecting, thinking back, these were some of the verses that different people said had been a help to them. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, is focused on you, was another one. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will be with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Another one nearer the back said, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Somebody else said, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Another one said, the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are his everlasting arms. And somebody else said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. I don't know about others, but I was encouraged. And they were obviously encouraged as they recollected God's word had given them strength in their difficulties. The truth had been a help. Don't you find that God's word strengthens? Might it do that again for you now, in your time of weakness and difficulty? The strength it gives. But as we carry on, we see the direction it gives. The direction it gives. It's a bit similar to the second one, but slightly different. There's quite a lot about the way in this section. In fact, in Hebrew, five of the verses start with the word way in Hebrew. Obviously, it begins with the equivalent of our D. This is the fourth one. So it's a D as far as we're concerned. And it's five of them begin with the word way, which in Hebrew is a sort of equivalent of our D. And in verses 29 to 30, you get this. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. So this man has been brought to a sense of repentance. He's sorry for the past. And there is a new way forward. There is a track ahead. And his heart is now resolute on going that way. And it's God's word that give him the way forward. He knows the route to go now because of what God has said in his word. He knows where to go. He knows what to think. He knows what's important. He knows how he wants to act. He knows where to look to in his difficulties. This now is a man who has a sense of direction. In a sense, his face is not down in the mire anymore. He's not sort of looking. His nose is not squelched in the mud. He's up and he's looking. He can see the track ahead. And it's God's word that's sort of the tram lines for the way forward. And don't you find that God's word gives you direction? When you start to see clearly and you have the perspective of what God has said and about who God is and what he is like and what he has done in Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection, and you think of the future and you think of the hope you have as a Christian, and you just find you've got direction. You know how things are shaping up. It puts wind in the sails, gets you going. The direction that it gives. And then you have as well the firmness that it gives. The firmness it gives. Verse 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I cling to your testimonies. The firmness, or I was going to say the lifeline they give. I cling. I've got something to hold on to here. I've got something secure. I've got an anchor. I've got a rope. I've got a rock that I'm on. I've got something substantial, secure and significant. I heard two ladies talking here last Sunday. Both of them, I think it would be fair to say, have had a fair bit to face in their lives and a lot of difficulties. But it was lovely to hear them talking. And they were sharing together a favourite verse. And it was the verse, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Isn't that wonderful? And referring to the fact that every day they find a sense of the joy of the Lord being their strength. What a lifeline there is in God's word. What an encouragement. What a strength through the difficulties that you can know God's joy even through heartache and ongoing difficulty and sometimes felt injustice. So we did sing, didn't we, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for our faith in his excellent word. Firmness. You see, it was clinging to the ground, wasn't he, in verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. He's clinging to something different now, isn't he? Verse 31, I cling to your testimonies. Which is best to cling to? The mud or God's word? It's clinging to God's word now. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. So we see something of what makes the difference. It's God's word. Different aspects, the life, the instruction, the strength, the direction, the firmness that it gives. But just notice this as well. Don't consider it coldly. When you think of God's word, don't think of it just legalistically. Don't just think of it as a formal document. If the first half is about heaviness, some have said that the second half is really shaped by grace. It's shaped by God's undeserved love, God's kindness, God's willingness to help. So you have in verse 29, put false ways afar from me and graciously teach me your law. It's your kindness that teaches me. It's an act of your love to include me in your wisdom. Graciously. I don't deserve it, but you've done it. Graciously teach me your law. It ended with, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. God enters in and opens up the airways or opens up the blood vessels or gets things going around. And it's God's kindness, an act of his loving grace. You had it in the earlier verse, verse 26. When I told you of my ways, confession, you answered me. So teach me your statutes. So it's not a cold response of, you know, it's not like the law student who's got to learn all these case studies. This is somebody who loves God and who finds God's word life-giving. And it's the word of their Father and their Saviour. And so it comes with life and energy and power. It's not a cold thing. So what are some of the implications of thinking about this evening? Well, there's a lot of encouragement for you, I hope. But also a reminder, don't cut yourself off from God's word. Don't miss out on services where it's explained. Don't leave your Bible unopened to one side or in that bottom cupboard which is never opened. I know when things are exceptionally difficult, we can't manage much. When some people are exceptionally low mentally and physically, just a nugget is all they can cope with. And the Lord knows that. But for most of us, we can take in God's word. We can read it. We can listen to it. We can think on it. We can pray through it. We can invest in God's word. And where we invest in God's word as he blesses us in that way, we'll find such help even when we're facing the dirt and the dust of life. There'll be more running that will be going on in our heart. So from dust to dash. I said to our girls, the word Dash, I'm not sure we use it these days. One of them said, well, one of the Incredibles characters is called Dash. Well, I'd forgotten that. I think I probably saw it once about 10 years ago. I can't remember. One of the Incredibles characters is called Dash. It is. It's a word that people use. Energize. Things are happening. From dust to dash. That's the wonderful change in this section. I mentioned Eric Liddell. You may remember the Chariots of Fire film and one of the scenes, and it's based on reality. I checked out my facts as best I could on Google. It was an athletics meeting at Stoke-on-Trent. This was a much earlier stage than the Olympics, which are the main feature of the film. And shortly after the start of the race, Eric Liddell tangled with another runner and fell to the ground. And he was 30 yards, roughly 30 metres for those who are metric, 30 yards behind the other runners. And he got back to his feet and he caught up with the others and he passed them and he won the race. If you've seen the film, maybe you remember the scene. In a way, that's a picture of this psalm, isn't it? Down on the ground and running strong for victory. That's the encouraging picture in this section. And if you're facing some of the difficulties of dust and difficulty, disappointment, suffering, brokenness, and maybe God's word is especially what you need a good dose of to think through and to pray through. And maybe you'll find that increasingly there will be life and vigour and progress because God's word is so special. Well, we've got a great hymn to finish, but I just allow a little bit of time for you to think. Maybe something you want to pick out and pray about personally in your own mind before we sing our last song. So let's just have a minute's silence before the closing song. Well, let's sing together then our last song, and I think you'll see some connections with this lovely song, with the things that we've studied. So what gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? Shall we stand to sing our last song? There are refreshments available afterwards. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word speaks to us in the difficulties of our life, in the brokenness and the sorrow and the sadness. And we thank you for the way it lifts us, it encourages us, it energizes us, even if the difficulties themselves are not taken away. And we pray that this evening, and as a result of this evening, we might find help from you to enlarge our hearts, that we might run in the way of your commandments. Amen.